Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well today. What a blessing the music has been, and what a blessing it is to be here at church today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Hosea, the first of the minor prophets, right after the book of Daniel, and so Old Testament. But what a tremendous and powerful message God has for us in the book of Hosea. And we're looking at the very last chapter, Hosea chapter 14, and we're going to be reading the entire chapter, just 9 verses this morning, Hosea chapter 14. So if you'll go ahead and stand with me, if you're able to do that, and we'll read together. As I read, you follow right along with me, Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what shall I do to any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it has been already just being here in church. What a blessing it is to be able to sing unto the Lord and to be blessed by the music with such powerful messages. Now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture and we look to you through the preaching of thy word to be able to speak to us individually and collectively, I just pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, we look here to the book of Hosea, and it's a little bit of a different book of the Bible. The prophet Hosea went through some things. He was sent by God to a backslidden Israel before God would take them into Assyrian captivity. But before God would send him to preach to Israel, he would prepare him for this purpose. Can I tell you, whatever God's purpose is for our lives, God prepares us for that. I believe God begins in the womb in preparing us for his purpose. He's the one that determines whose family you're born into. He determines all the things about your person. It's God who prepares us to do his will. So Hosea would be prepared and a little bit different than most. If you look back to Hosea chapter 1, we'll give you just a little brief overview of the book of Hosea. But Hosea chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, this is what God reveals to Hosea to do in preparing him. He says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, 'Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord.' So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." Hosea would marry a woman in his day whose name was Gomer, and she would bless him with three children. But then after blessing him with three children, she would leave him in pursuit of others. She would commit adultery against Hosea, and she would leave her family, and she would search for something better. In chapter 2, in verse 5, the Bible says, "For their mother hath played the harlot," speaking of Gomer, "she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said," and this is her mentality and why she left the Lord, or left Gomer, Hosea, "for she said, 'I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink,'" thinking that she would find everything that she would desire in leaving Hosea and seeking out her own. Now that would be her mentality. God was preparing Hosea because Hosea would represent God. Gomer would represent Israel, or the people of God. But the thing about Hosea that God would work in his life, God would not allow Hosea to give up on Gomer. But he would lead him to find her, and when he found her, she would have been sold into slavery. It didn't turn out the way that she thought it was going to turn out. And being in slavery at this time, he would lead Gomer, or Hosea, to purchase her. And after he would purchase her at a slave auction, he would restore her to be his bride forever. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "Then said the Lord unto me, 'Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her, friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel.'" He is preparing Hosea to be able to be of the right mindset to preach into Israel. And through his life and what he experienced, he knows what God and Israel are experiencing. "According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, 'Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee.'" Through Hosea, God would reveal his love for his people, an undying love. And through Hosea, God would reveal a future restoration when his people would turn back to him, and they would be restored unto him throughout eternity. Now, I love this because, and this is what bring it together for the message I'm going to be preaching this morning. While in captivity, they would still have to suffer the consequences of their sin. And God would take them into captivity. And in captivity, they would then realize the mistakes that had been made. But while in captivity, they would look beyond their current circumstances and look forward to a future restoration, which would give them hope while in captivity. And can I tell you that hope is what all of us need? It's been said that the worst thing about a place of hell is hopelessness. There's no hope. No matter what we're going through, no matter what you face in life, if you have hope, you can get through it. Can I tell you, even though they would be taken into captivity, but in captivity as they would look to God, then they would be able to look to what messages they heard to understand that God still loved them even though they were in captivity, and God had future plans for Israel. He would restore them. Even in captivity, they could look forward to a day when they would be restored by God. To a fellowship, to a relationship. And as God was working and giving me and directing me this week, and you know, of course, I'm preparing just as I would any other week, no matter if there's COVID, no matter if there's five here or 1,000, whatever. Whoever is listening and whoever is coming out, you need to hear from God. And can I tell you this idea of hope? No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you're going through right now, we need to hang on to this idea of hope and know that there is future blessings that God has in store for us. As we go through this COVID and how it has impacted churches here in Indianapolis and our state and our nation and around the world, the thing that will get us through is our hope in God. His love continues even now. His future plans of restoration are there. They're set in stone, if you will. That will take place. I don't know exactly how this is going to turn out and where we're going to be next year. As far as what kind of differences did 2020 make in the church? What kind of differences did 2020 make in the lives of believers? What kind of difference it made in the lives of the United States of America? What kind of a difference it'll make in the politics of things? I don't know any of those things. And not knowing them should not cause me to fear. As long as I know that God knows. As long as I know that God has a purpose and a plan for anything and everything that he would allow. And he would go as far as preparing Hosea to marry a woman that he knew was going to be unfaithful to him so as to experience what Israel and God would be going through. And it's recorded for us to know the love of God. And to have hope in future restoration. God is not done with his church because we're still here. Now, will we be here next year? I don't know, but if we're not, hallelujah, praise God. I know where we'll be. And that brings a smile to my face. Unlike what I experience when I see empty Sunday school classrooms. Unlike what I experience when I look and I see the buses on Sunday parked out there. Unlike what I see when I don't see the auditorium filled like it normally is this time of the year. There's so many things that if you focus on will bring you down. And we don't have to focus on those things. Israel, while in captivity, they could hold on to hope because of the prophecies of God given to them before they went into captivity. They knew that God loved them. It was real. If you have any doubt about that, all you have to do is look back to the cross of Calvary. That's real. And that's real love. And restoration. God has a future plan. And that future plan gives us hope. Chapter 14, our text for this morning. I trust you have a little brief understanding of the book of Hosea, because the last four chapters deal with the restoration aspect. And chapter 14 gives us a clear plan for restoration. A clear plan for this restoration that we need to be aware of. As we look here, chapter 14, first of all, in God's restoration plan, Israel would need to look back to God. They would need to return their focus on God and not on the other so-called small letter G gods of the world, and not according to their own hands and what they could accomplish and what they could do, humanistic mentality. They needed to return their thinking and their devotion to God. And so he says in chapter 14, he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. You're going to go into captivity, but it's because of your sin. It's because of your turning away from God. It's because of your own iniquity. And at some point, you need to return unto the Lord. Even if you're in captivity, return unto the Lord to receive this hope that will give you the strength to make it through anything. Return unto the Lord thy God. Like with Gomer, God still loves you, and God will not give up on you. Even though you left Hosea, even though you went after others. Chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, For Israel hath forgotten his maker. Gomer had forgotten the one who loved her the most, that married her, that supported her, that took care of her, that she had a family with. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the places thereof. God would have to judge, and that they would have to deal with the consequences at the time, and they would go into captivity, but it was because of their own iniquity. Look at chapter 13 and verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Gomer, you've done it to yourself. And that's still the message that each and every one of us need to realize. God would much rather bless. He would much rather show mercy. He would much rather give grace than to have to discipline a backslidden Israel or a backslidden Christian. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help, because I will always love you. I will never give up on you. And I have future plans of restoration for you. That's good stuff right there. For a saved person, somebody to have known the Lord and has actually believed that Jesus loved you enough to die for you and paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and you received him as your personal Lord and Savior, that would be like a saved person. That would be like Israel. He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He blessed them in so many different ways. He gave them the promised land. For a saved person to forsake the will and the ways of God, which is symbolic as we read what Gomer did to God's prophet Hosea, should feel like spiritual adultery. There's no doubt about it. As we look here, we find that that is adultery. That is not having faithful to her husband, not being faithful to her family, not being faithful to her God is adultery. But God brings it into our lives when we forsake the will and the ways of God. It's like spiritual adultery. That's how God views it. And I trust that would help us to view it in a way that God does, so that we can return to the Lord if that is possible. I mean, if we have done some of those very same things. Is it too much to ask of a married individual? Because you chose to be married. And like it or not, you chose the one that you did marry. You can't blame that on anybody else. And you made vows. You made vows to God for that marriage. But then you made vows to that individual. Is it too much to ask of a married individual to stop thinking of yourself as being single? If you're married, you're not single. If you're married, the mentality that you have should be different from that who is single. Too many. And that's where this adultery comes from. You don't want to think of yourself as being married. You might even go as far as to take your wedding ring off, which is symbolic. That doesn't mean that you're not married anymore. That's just a symbol to tell other people that you're married. This ring right here is a symbol, and I've worn it ever since we got married. This is symbolic of the fact that I am married. Now, I can take it off. I think I can take it off. All right, well, maybe I can't. But if I could take it off, I would take it off. But taking it off does not mean that I'm not married. It means I'm trying to hide being married. Is it too much? If you're married, for your spouse to ask you to think like a married individual? Is it too much for your children to ask you to think like a parent? Wow. Was it too much for Hosea to ask? Return to the Lord. If you've not been living like God would have you to live, if you have forsaken the will and the ways of God, it's like spiritual adultery. Is it too much for God to ask you to turn back to Him? Get back to thinking as a Christian and living as a Christian. Chapter 14 and verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, It is important that we talk to God. It is important that we understand the words that we use in talking to God. Through Hosea, we find that God says, I want you to tell them that it's very important that they speak the very words that need to be spoken. See, we need to confess with our mouths that we're sinners to God. And then we need to confess with our mouths that we believe that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross. Then we need to confess with our mouths that we believe that he resurrected on the third day. And then we need to confess with our mouths and asking him to come into our hearts, to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins. It is important. God tells Hosea to tell them, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Isn't that good? I love that. I love that. Look down to verse 4. When we do this, the Bible says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away. That's God's mentality then. It's God's mentality now. Yeah. God wants to hear our words. Now, does God listen to how you say it? He already knows. He listens to the heart. But you need to get it from the heart to verbalizing it so that you can hear yourself. Amen. A lot of times when I'm praying in my prayer closet, whether I'm here at church Saturday nights with no one else, I speak out loud. I sing. I do things that I wouldn't do in public. I wouldn't do if I thought anybody else could see me. But I sing and I speak out loud so that I can hear me and the words that I have for God. Yeah. It makes a difference. So we find here the first thing in God's restoration plan was for Israel to get a hold of this and return unto the Lord. As they would return unto the Lord, what they would need to do is they would need to grow beyond what they were before they were taken into captivity. Look there, Hosea chapter 14. Look at verse 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow, the shadow of the Almighty, shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They are going to grow in such a way that they learn how to please God, and then they use the knowledge of how to please God to be able to please God. But in order to do that, they would have to grow. A lack of growth is what leads to adultery. At some point in your marriage, you stop growing in your relationship. That's how Satan was able to bring the temptation to look to another. Because you were no longer growing in the relationship that you had. If you had continued to grow in the relationship the way that you did in preparing for marriage in that relationship, you would never have to worry about adultery. If I could ask all you wives, Was there a difference before your husband married you and after your husband married you? Can I tell you, I don't know if too many would say, oh, no, no, he still treats me just like he did when we were dating. He still does everything for me that he did before. He would never let me see him in a bad way. He would never let me smell his old dirty sweat and everything else like he would not do that before marriage. He would never do any of that, those things. Yeah. But that's not true. Yeah. And I could turn it around just the opposite way as well. You never let him see you without your makeup on. You never let him see you without your, you know, fixing your hair and doing all the different things. So what happens if you're not careful? You get so used to that you stop growing and you just rely on past experiences and love and commitments. Which when you stop growing in a marriage and you stop working on that marriage, you open yourself up for adultery. Yeah. That's the way it is spiritually. That's the way it is for spiritual adultery. Look back to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. In the promised land? In the land that God gave them, blessed them with? And you say there's no truth now? No biblical truth in the land anymore. There's no mercy in treating one another the way God would have you to treat in the land. And there's no knowledge of God in the promised land of Israel. There's no knowledge of God. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's society. Have you watched the news lately? Is that not exactly what has taken place in the United States of America? How sad. Could it be that it's because we've stopped growing in our understanding and knowledge of God? And because we've stopped growing in our understanding and knowledge of God, they're swearing and lying and killing and stealing and adultery. Look to verse 6, chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Wow. You see, in chapter 2 and verse 8, when he was talking about Gomer, for she did not know, she had lost the knowledge of this, she did not know that I, Hosea, gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. She lost sight of the knowledge of God. They didn't understand how dependent they were on God. Israel, as well as Gomer, which led to their adultery. We need to grow in our understanding of our need and dependency upon God. here and now. America is dependent upon God. That's not changed. We've always been dependent upon God. God had a purpose for this United States of America during this church age. But in order to be able to accomplish everything that God would have us to accomplish in this church age, we need God. Yeah. Here and now. And even more so beyond the grave. When my life on this earth is over, I'll need God more than I've ever needed God. Because without God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'll die and go to a devil's hell. But with God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the acceptance of my Savior, I'm going to pass, not going to die. I'm going to pass from this life to a far greater life, which gives me hope, which allows me to rejoice in the Lord no matter what we have to face in this life. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do we believe that? Have we lost sight of that? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father now or beyond but by me. Yeah. Lastly, I got to quit. God's restoration plan is, first of all, for them to return. And as they returned, they were to grow. And as they grew, what happens with growth is you produce fruit. You don't expect to plant today and have fruit by this afternoon. But as you grow, you will produce fruit. Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observe him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. That means that what God has us here to accomplish is producing fruit for him. If we're not returning, if we're not living for God, if we're not growing, then we'll not produce fruit. But if we are acknowledging God and we are growing in understanding of his will and his ways, we will produce fruit that is pleasing to God. We can never stop producing fruit for God. Let me read this to you. Psalm chapter 92. Psalms 92, verse 13 and 14. The book of Psalms in chapter 92. The Bible says this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Yeah. That means as long as I live, no matter how old I get, as I get older, I can't do a lot of things I used to do. But the one thing that I can continue to do as long as I'm here is produce fruit. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, amen. I think that describes me right there, fat and flourishing, amen. As we are producing the fruit that God would have us to produce. Hosea closes his writings and we'll close this message in verse 9, the last verse. Who is wise? Understanding everything that he's presented here. First three chapters is dealing with him marrying Gomer and the purpose for that, and then addressing the sins of Israel. But then the last, God's restoration plan. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Reality. But the transgressors shall fall therein. The wise and the prudent will return, grow, and continue to produce fruit. The transgressors will not. Today, return and focus on the hope for the future. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What's important today, most important today, is knowing that I'm walking with God, that I am pleasing God, I'm serving Him, I'm producing fruit for the Lord. There's something about knowing that will just give you a peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of corona, in the midst of whatever other trials you might be facing, return. And as you return, focus on hope of restoration for the future. Father, we bow before you now. Again, we love you, Lord. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this book of Hosea and to be able to bring this message from this book. And I pray and I trust, God, that it would be a help to all that are here in this auditorium, to all that are viewing and listening at home via live stream. God, that we would receive it and be able to be helped by it. But God, if there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that they would be made now, before it's eternally too late. Whether it be a salvation for salvation or rededication or just a commitment to growth and service. Work now in our midst and bless in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.